The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again. It's Monday, and we have 5 days of important health-supporting discussions in mind for you. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And before we get to our discussions, just a reminder to our listeners, we have an event coming up Saturday sponsored by Advanced Medical Testing Centers at their location, and what they're trying to do is introduce people to their drawing center, and they've decided to, those who sign up, to give them a free CBC, Campanil, and urinalysis, and also they'll have the chance to get additional testing if they so desire for a very low price. But they don't have any more room for this Saturday coming up. October 31st.
They're doing more, right?
Yes, they're going to have another one December 5th on a Saturday.
Awesome.
Same rules and everything from 8 in the morning to 11 in the morning, 3 hours. So you can still give them a call and get your name on the list. The number is 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332. Now,
yes,
you know, we both scan the literature looking for interesting things to talk about. And I don't know, some things that I find interesting, I'm not sure Janet finds interesting. But I'll tell you why I found this particular article interesting. It's about a very common class of antibiotics. I mean, extremely common, but this is the interesting part about it. The class of antibiotics called fluoroquinolones. What does that mean? These are fluoridated antibiotics. Here are some of the names. You have Cipro and Avelox. Those two drugs alone brought in $1 billion in sales in 2010 to Bayer. Then you have Johnson & Johnson. They have Levaquin, and that one drug alone brought in $1.3 billion. And the reason, and these, like I say, very commonly prescribed antibiotics, but no other antibiotic carries as high a potential to cause serious permanent injuries and even death as these do. Despite their higher than normal risks, doctors frequently prescribe them as a first-line treatment, even for mild infections. So, what should you do? There are, first of all, we know that antibiotics are overprescribed in the first place. And a lot of times, when you only have 5 minutes to spend with the doctor, I'm not speaking for myself, though, they have to get you in and out fast. And here's an antibiotic. Now, what are they using these antibiotics for? Almost for everything. Urinary tract infections, you have a cough, a cold, take this antibiotic. Sinuses, take this. Skin infections, take this. So pretty much across the board, these are the antibiotics that are recommended. In fact, if I recall, I think Publix for Cipro was giving out free prescriptions for Cipro.
Right. Certain pharmacies do provide antibiotics with no charge.
So it's been,
I could never figure that.
How do they do that?
Why they do that, you know?
It's called a lost leader.
Well, okay.
I mean, that gets you into Publix, and they know you're going to buy other things when you're there. That's why, you know, Publix put in pharmacies and pharmacies put in shopping areas, you know, groceries. You know, I'm waiting for the gasoline stations to put in pharmacies. Why they haven't yet.
Coming soon to a quick stop near you.
So you have to be really think twice about using these medications. Should be reserved as the antibiotics of last resort. No antibiotic is great from the standpoint of having no side effects. They all have side effects. So you really have to weigh the pros and the cons. First, whether you need the antibiotic. Second, take the antibiotic with the least side effects and reserve the ones with the most side effects as a last resort, because sometimes you might need them.
Sometimes you might need them. However, the whole situation with regard to your body temperature, it's something that I focus on with a lot of people, because your thyroid is your body's thermostat. When your thermostat doesn't work very well, your body temperature tends to be lower. So you can never create a fever high enough to kill off any of these bacteria. And unfortunately, that's one of the primary ways that your body fights infection. So without your thyroid working properly, you're going to be literally a victim of antibiotics, because you won't be able to get over an infection without them.
It all boils down to having a strong immune system. So if you require an antibiotic, chances are, something happened. But there are instances, let's say you're in an accident and you get cut up, the risk of infection is high. I think sometimes they jump on prescribing antibiotics too soon. You know, when I worked emergency room, the key is to clean that wound so thoroughly that you've removed the risk of infection.
Right.
But doctors will still hand out an antibiotic prescription anyway. But here are the reasons why these drugs, this is Cipro, Levaquin, Avalox, need to be used as a last resort. And these complications have been known for a long time. But here's some of them. Nervous system symptoms occur to 91% of patients taking the fluoroquinolones.
Why? Because they wiped out the beneficial bacteria in the gut. That interaction between your gut and your brain is severed, and you wind up with those neurological symptoms.
So here are some of the symptoms to think about. A lot of times, and this is true, and this is difficult. I'm not blaming patients, because this is, even the doctors don't put two and two together.
So you're not blaming,
connect the dots.
You're not blaming the patient, but are you blaming the docs for overwriting prescriptions?
No, I blame them for being ignorant.
Okay.
I mean, they're not paying attention because they don't have time.
Isn't that their professional responsibility?
It is.
Thank you.
But here are some of the symptoms. So we talk about nervous system symptoms: pain, tingling, numbness, dizziness, malaise, weakness, headaches, anxiety, panic, loss of memory, even psychosis. So think about that, because you take a drug for a week or two and you stop, and then you develop symptoms. You don't necessarily put two and two together. It's difficult sometimes.
Here's the one that is very, very rarely connected. It has to do mostly with Cipro, but it does apply to other antibiotics as well. Tendons and ligaments that are damaged after having that particular antibiotic
system. Well, the nervous system symptoms occur to 91% of people taking these drugs. Musculoskeletal symptoms and 73%. That includes tendon ruptures, tendonitis, weakness, and joint swelling.
6 months after having taken Cipro, to have a blown Achilles tendon is not an unusual circumstance. And when you're when something is happening that far away from when you used an antibiotic, most people never connect it.
That's the point. They don't see. Sensory symptoms, 42% of patients get those. Tinnitus. I mean, how many people have complained of that and they don't know when, what's the explanation?
I always ask the people that come to me, have you been using an antibiotic lately? Do they explain the mechanism? Because I don't understand that quite as well.
Here's what happens on several different levels. Inhibition or disruption of the central nervous system, the GABA receptors, depletion of magnesium and disruption of cellular enzyme function, disruption of mitochondrial function and energy production, and oxidative injury and cellular death. So, this is what happens at the cellular level. Maybe this is, you know, it's funny. This is the mechanism of killing the bacteria that they're designed to kill. But unfortunately, the body doesn't, or the antibiotic doesn't distinguish between the bacteria and your own cells. It's like chemotherapy. The chemotherapy doesn't distinguish between the cancer cells and your healthy cells. That's why hair falls out, you have digestive tract problems, you destroy your immune system, your white count goes down, your hemoglobin goes down, because it's not distinguishing the bad cells from the good cells. Cardiovascular symptoms, 36% of patients. That includes tachycardia, shortness of breath, chest pain, and palpitations. I mean, these are all pretty serious complications happening in a high percentage of people.
They make the patients feel terrible. You don't feel well when you are dealing with any of these issues.
And this is just one class of drugs. This is why I really hesitate in my practice to prescribe drugs once you read all the potential side effects. And these are not uncommon side effects. These are common side effects. Skin reactions, 29% of patients. That includes rashes, hair loss, sweating, intolerance to heat or cold.
Hives.
Yeah. That
yes.
would be under rash.
Yes, I know. But, sometimes rash doesn't sound so difficult to deal with. Hives, they're itchy, they're ugly, they're hard to manage.
And one last thing, gastrointestinal symptoms occurred in 18% of patients.
And I would have thought it was higher.
And that includes nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal pain.
And it's very interesting because when you return to the doctor who prescribed the antibiotic, he would say, oh, no, I don't think that is, the antibiotic is the cause of whatever you're complaining about. I hear music, Dr. Slavin, so it's time for us to take a break. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth? Trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about possibly the overuse of prescribed antibiotic drugs. And Dr. Slavin, I'm going to quote a phrase I've often heard you mention, and it's, how do you get antibiotics without a prescription?
Exactly. And more antibiotics, believe it or not, on a weight basis, use that, are given to livestock than to humans.
Oh, the use of antibiotics is overwhelmingly huge. It is the most significant market for the antibiotic producers.
So the answer is just go out and eat. But I think it's not just in the food. It's probably in the water too. Where does all the antibiotics go to after you've swallowed them? That expensive urine.
Okay, and the doctors very often talk about expensive urine when you are using supplements, but they don't quite categorize pharmaceuticals in that same area.
You should say that to the doctor on your way out. How come you don't mention the antibiotics and all the other prescriptions you prescribe create expensive urine? Mm-hmm. Far more expensive than vitamins. But there are a few other things you have to consider with this category of antibiotics. And this is really an eye-opener, because you don't think of them as such dangerous drugs because they're so widely prescribed.
Oh, and I think so many people have had an adverse event very specifically associated with a prescribed antibiotic. Number one, that they had any one of the different symptoms that you've been mentioning, Dr. Slavin. And number two, that the antibiotic didn't do what they had been told or what they thought it was going to do.
And here are some of the other side effects. Detached retina, kidney failure, brain fog, depression, seizures. And then when you get the disruption of collagen synthesis, that's what leads to muscle, tendon, cartilage, and ligament damage. Some people have reported hallucinations.
Okay, wait a minute. Back up here. Okay, so when you have the disruption of collagen synthesis, so all of those antibiotics are taking a toll on how our skin looks.
Yeah, it'll affect that too. And that may be why, they mentioned the rashes, but, it may accelerate the aging process. Now, well, granted, most people don't take time. A lot of the most, and they're more common. And they say for a woman, 1 or 2 urinary tract infections a year is considered normal.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's considered normal. And a man,
outrageous.
A urinary tract infection is never considered normal. So you always have to look for a cause. In women, if you have more than 2 a year, then you have to start wondering, is there a problem going on?
Well, I routinely work with women using the supplements and the dietary approaches to prevent the occurrence of UTIs.
Absolutely. And you also have, from the fluoroquinolones, the Cipro and drugs like it, painful rashes, phototoxicity, heart damage, nausea and diarrhea, hearing problems. It's going to affect your blood sugar. And also peripheral neuropathy and liver toxicity.
So when you wipe out those beneficial bacteria in your gut, then you cannot synthesize the whole profile of B nutrients. you can't handle, when you can't have that expected activity of B complex nutrients, then you're going to have a variety of problems, neurological problems, digestive problems, all sorts of issues.
So here's how you can identify the drugs with their generic name. They all end in floxacin. You have a ciprofloxacin, a gemifloxacin, a norfloxacin, a levofloxacin, moxifloxacin, aflofloxacin.
Okay, so each one of those different drugs is, I presume, made by a different company.
Yes.
And they have tweaked that floxacin in order to patent their drug.
Right, they
correct
changed
statement?
The molecular structure just slightly, so they have their own version of the drug. And sometimes that might create more side effects or fewer side effects.
And for different people, different ones are going to have effects that are not necessarily predictable.
And that reminds me of the genetic tests we do that evaluates which drugs are the safest for people to take.
That is one of my favorite, oh my goodness, the information at AMT centers for that test is astonishing. I think it's so eye-opening for people that, and I'll just say as basic a profile of drugs like Tylenol, Advil, Aleve, aspirin, based on your blood work, you will find the most efficient way to reduce pain or inflammation. And please remember that I am not advocating the use of these drugs, but you can, with this information, choose the one that is going to be most effective, and you won't have to take for as long a duration.
All right, so we have another drug to talk about. This is an over-the-counter drug, and it's been around a long, long time, and that's called aspirin. And it's, if I were to ask somebody why are they taking aspirin?
Not necessarily me.
Well, we could use you.
Okay.
But why would you take aspirin? Not that you do, but.
Oh, okay. Why might someone take aspirin? All right. They found that it's helpful for minor aches and pains. They found that it works for a headache. They found that it helps them sleep. They found that they've been told by their doctor to take a low dose aspirin because that low dose aspirin is going to reduce their the possibility of a heart attack. Dr. Slavin, what's the truth here?
Well, think about that for a second. You take it for aches and pains. That's true. The aspirin was the original drug, and then it came out with the whole category of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. So who takes aspirin anymore? You're taking Aleve or Advil, you know, the more expensive ones.
Well, okay. I'm going to say across the board, any one of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, you should never have any alcohol within the 24 hours of having taken that non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. And the potential for damage to your liver across the board with every one of them is pretty significant. So do you think most people keep that in mind? I think there's a warning on the label of Tylenol. I don't know if there's a warning on Advil, Aleve, Motrin, any of those.
Well, it's more important with Tylenol. The risk with non-steroidals, it may be liver, but it's also kidney. Remember that basketball player had a kidney transplant. He was taking a lot of non-steroidals for his knee pain, I guess, from playing basketball.
The baseball players years ago using Voltaren and for aches and pains and overexertion during baseball games and then partying.
Oh, yeah. No, it's... it has its complications, and the latest complication with non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, heart attacks. You know, that wasn't...
So a complication of that use.
Yeah. Now, the funny thing is, it wasn't reported until recently, but it was known for a long time.
And see, that's, you know, the comment I made about Voltaren, that's going back 40, 50 years, and they did know what they were doing.
Right, but they didn't report it.
No.
They selectively report only the good information. Just like with statin drugs, the whole way of promoting statin drugs was to say that high cholesterol causes heart attacks. Well, if high cholesterol causes heart attacks, how come people with low cholesterol get heart attacks too? And there are people with high cholesterol that don't get heart attacks. So there's something wrong with what they're saying, because it doesn't reflect the studies that have been done. But after many decades of promoting aspirin, the FDA now says that if you have not experienced a heart problem, you should not be taking a daily aspirin, even if you have a family history of heart disease. So that's,
and is that applying to those low-dose aspirin that all of the...
Yes, yeah. Now, here's the interesting thing, and to understand healthcare in this country, you have to understand economics. Remember the antibiotics? Each one of those drugs brings in over $1 billion a year to their manufacturer. Well, the same is true about aspirin, believe it or not. It means a lot of people are taking a lot of aspirin because aspirin is really inexpensive. A Bayer, for example.
Oh, Bayer, the one that is promoting GMOs and all sorts of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, that company Bayer?
In addition to Monsanto, huh?
Yeah.
$1.27 billion in sales of Bayer aspirin last year. So it brings in a lot of money. So they're going to say whatever it takes to keep the cash flow.
A number of months ago, the FDA came out and issued a statement that they found that the low-dose aspirin was no longer advisable as a preventive for heart attack, and that it had to be removed from the labels of the different aspirin product. And I say I have seen it removed from the Bayer aspirin label.
Well, they must have done some kind of study. I don't know if I said it already yet. Over 20 years ago, I heard a lecture about aspirin and heart disease, and they said, and I remember this clearly, they said when they repeated the study using aspirin to see if, because you have to check on studies, because you can have a study give you any result you want. So you have an independent party repeat the study and see if they get the results. This time they used a pure aspirin. They didn't get the same results. And they looked at the original study. The original study was done with a buffered aspirin. The buffer was magnesium. And they said, well, maybe it was the magnesium that all the benefits were attributed to, not the aspirin part.
But Mayer didn't tell you about that study, my guess is.
No.
Okay. That music means it's time to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research,
We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I am here alone right now. And so I will have to figure out what I'm going to talk to you about. All right. So one of the things that I came prepared to talk about today had to do with people looking for information on the internet. And when you look for information on the internet, you're going to get a wide range of different suggestions. It's interesting because yesterday, when I was working in the store, I spoke to a person and, she was having, certain issues and she had Googled the answer to her health issues, and what she came up with was not necessarily the profile of components and natural approaches that I would recommend, but I didn't necessarily totally agree what the information was that she came up with. And so I suggested to her, here are the things that were suggested when you did your Google search, and here are the things that I typically would give to someone coming in with the list of issues that you're talking to me about. And so we did kind of a combination, and hopefully I will see that person soon again and find out that, yes, indeed, she did have very, very successful use of these natural supplements. What I thought was so impressive was she was looking for natural approaches. Now, when you're coming into an issue and trying to find very, very good sources of information, I think WebMD comes up pretty high on people's list. The viewpoint that you're going to get quality, unbiased, and that's my biggie here, unbiased information on WebMD. And so one of the things that I came across in preparing for today's show had to do with WebMD talking about probiotics. And it was a very, very important area to discuss for me because, in my opinion, probiotics are absolutely in the category of foundation approaches for good health. And over the years, the way to support your immune system, to support your digestion, to enhance the quality of life, reduce inflammation. And welcome back, Dr. Slavin. So I'll finish my sentence and then we'll get right back to your point of view. So here, probiotics are absolutely indispensable in my view. And because I have Janabiotic and that formula with all of the specific probiotic substances, each one achieves a very particular support to your good health. And WebMD, they were not so supportive of probiotics. And so people who think, okay, I take my probiotics pretty regularly. I've seen a difference with how I feel, how my brain functions, how my digestive system functions. I've seen all of that. But, oh, WebMD is saying, well, maybe I'm spending too much money. Maybe I'm creating expensive urine, as we talked a few minutes ago. But the truth of the matter is there seems to be some bias, and the bias might have to do with the sponsors of WebMD's website. So maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, we'll get into the benefits of probiotics a little bit more. And Dr. Slavin, I'm going to ask you, with regard to that test that we discussed before, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, you can find out with a blood test that is done at AMT centers, which one is the best one for you. Do they do the same with natural substances? Might they have some information about probiotics or the different strains of probiotics that are beneficial? Or was that a stump the doctor question?
You mean as far as testing goes?
Yeah, your blood test, you know that test.
Not with the blood test. A comprehensive digestive stool analysis will give the information.
Okay.
So, and I reserve that test as a last resort, too. In other words, if a patient isn't responding and digestive symptoms now, you would use digestive enzymes. You would tell them first, fix your diet, because that's the basic reason you have digestive problems. You're eating foods your body can't tolerate, but you may also have deficiencies in digestive enzymes. You may have the wrong bacteria growing in your gut. So you have to fix all those things.
If you've had an antibiotic, you're going to have the wrong bacteria growing in your gut, and that's going to create a wide range of symptoms.
And the gut, as is becoming more and more talked about, the microbiome affects every aspect of your health.
In polite society, it's the microbiome, not the gut.
But we're talking about the fact that aspirin, even the baby aspirin, really doesn't have all those benefits that they've been promoting.
Do you think it's an accident, Dr. Slavin, that when it was determined that you shouldn't give a child with a fever aspirin to lower the fever because of the danger of Reye's syndrome, they discovered another use for it? Here, we're going to use low-dose aspirin, formerly known as baby aspirin, and suggest that to reduce your risk of heart attack. I think that there might be a connection.
Well, I think that's what people sit around all day in certain places, figuring out the new ideas for drugs.
Marketing
one drug for a second use, like Wellbutrin came out as an antidepressant, then it became marketed as a way to stop smoking. You know, sometimes the drug's name is changed, even though it's the same drug, if it has a different use, they'll change the name for it.
Okay, antidepressant, and then there's one, the name was changed, and it is for menstrual dysphoric disorder or some such diagnosis.
Well, that's the thing, too.
Everything is a disease or a disorder. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I liked, if you had a chance to listen to Sylvia Binder on Friday's program, we were talking about energy medicine, and really that's the whole key. You want to put the body in a optimized state that it can repair itself and heal itself. Taking all these drugs doesn't do any of that. You want to remove the impediments to healing, and then you get well. Now, back to aspirin. I found this very interesting, because I listen to the same media that everybody else does. And you hear something over and over again, you begin to believe it, and you have no clue that it may not be the truth. After all, it's on TV. It must be true, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm just saying, a lot of people think that. They don't give it a second thought.
They think that these things are vetted, that there are people making decisions about truth and untruth.
Yeah.
And not so much.
So the American Heart Journal back in 2004 stated, patients receiving aspirin treatment showed the worst cardiac outcomes, especially
Whoa.
Heart failure.
Oh, my goodness.
The New England Journal of Medicine back in 2005 reported on a 10-year study at Harvard, which involved nearly 40,000 women. And they found no fewer heart attacks or cardiovascular deaths among women receiving aspirin therapy.
I have to say, and Dr. Howard Bush, the cardiologist from Cleveland Clinic, he has made a point of discussing the very, very different symptoms of heart disease that females have, differentiated from the symptoms males have. And so I think people, women need to be made aware they're not necessarily going to have that crushing chest pain. They may have it, but it's not necessarily part of it. That whole situation with pain radiating into your jaw, down your left arm. The symptoms are very, very different. I'm going to say more subtle in women. So women need to educate themselves.
The British Medical Journal back in 2009 in a report stated aspirin therapy for diabetics produced no benefit in preventing cardiovascular events. Then you had another study.
Now, I have a question about that, Dr. Slavin. Certainly, you know, the idea that aspirin was going to reduce inflammation. Do we have a kind of baseline agreement that aspirin does reduce inflammation? And then going from that viewpoint, are diabetics more prone to inflammatory diseases than non-diabetics? So, you know, there's that whole area of question in there.
Well, I think these studies have answered it. You know, aspirin is an anti-inflammatory, but in the context of preventing heart disease, it doesn't seem to be effective.
Interesting.
The pharmacoepidemiological drug safety journal in 2009 reported Swedish researchers studying individuals with diabetes found no clear benefit for aspirin, but did note it can increase the risk of serious bleeding.
So here's aspirin's a blood thinner, and diabetics may be more prone to have thick and sticky blood. So there's questions in my mind. I'm not suggesting by any means for people to be using aspirin. I think there are things like fish oil and garlic that are so much better choices.
Well, here's the problem you're having.
Okay.
You read on the one hand that aspirin reduces...
Is this a diagnosis, Dr. Slavin?
That aspirin reduces platelet adhesiveness and therefore reduces blood clots. So now when you put that theory into practice and you do the study, because you say, therefore, if you reduce platelet aggregation, it will therefore lead to a reduced risk of heart attacks. That's the theory. Now you want to prove that theory with a study, and it doesn't prove out, because study after study shows it's not reducing the risk of heart disease or heart attacks.
Okay. And so it's very, very difficult to have this absolute control. Are we studying diabetics who are well controlled through diet? Their blood sugar is very balanced because they're following an intelligent diet? Are these diabetics very, very poorly controlled diabetics who have the potential for a lot of liver dysfunction? You know, there's so many different aspects of controlling the study.
But it's not just diabetics. The Journal of the American College of Cardiology in 2010, patients taking aspirin showed a higher risk for recurrent heart attack and associated heart problems.
And so one of the things that I tell people, aspirin may very well thin your blood, but it makes your blood vessels more brittle, so it is not necessarily a beneficial choice. I hear music, Dr. Slavin. It's time for us to take a break here on Natural Talk Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. I just want to tell everybody where they can find my probiotic, Dr. Slavin, and I'll be talking to people on Saturday about Jenna Juice, which is the antioxidant profile that's from the superfruits. No sugar, but lots of the benefits of the antioxidant content. And Jannabiotic, a whole profile of the beneficial bacteria to support the quality of your microbiome. And you can find these products at Greenlands in Delray Beach, Vitamin Emporium in Deerfield, Healthy Way in Boca, and all three Toonies locations, Fort Lauderdale, Coral Springs, and PGA. And just a reminder, on Fridays, I am available at Greenlands from 11 to 2. And today, I'll be at Toonies in PGA from 1 to 7. Dr. Slavin?
Okay, more information about aspirin. It's these are really eye-opening things because we take aspirin for granted. It's over-the-counter. It's inexpensive. It's recommended everybody should take an aspirin. I mean, that's the goal of any drug company, is to find a drug that everybody has to take, you know, for prevention.
Okay, so they did that 150 years ago, I don't know how long there's been mass produced.
But here's what you have to know. Aspirin is not the innocuous drug you might think. Each year, 15,000 people die, and 100,000 people are hospitalized as a result of aspirin and other non-steroidal anti-inflammatories.
My guess is, unfortunately, that they have potentially overdosed. They have possibly combined it with alcohol and possibly combined more than one non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug.
By definition, if you're taking aspirin, you're not healthy. If you were healthy, you wouldn't need to take aspirin.
They have been the subject of prevention marketing.
Well, here's another eye-opening fact. Aspirin may be one of the oldest killer drugs. There's strong historical evidence pointing to aspirin overdose as a major contributor to the high death tolls during the 1918 influenza pandemic.
Oh, but those people felt so awful. Oh, they just needed something to make them feel better.
Is that tongue in cheek?
No. They had the flu and they
take something that's going to kill you?
No, but they overdosed. Felt so sick.
Aspirin toxicity can result in hemorrhage, fluid buildup in your lungs, can lead to death. And here's another point, if I haven't convinced you yet. An animal study in 2010 suggests that treating the flu with drugs that lower your temperature, like aspirin, may increase your risk of death. This study involved animals, but the results were compelling enough for researchers to make an urgent call for human studies. Aspirin also depletes your body of important nutrients, including vitamin C, vitamin E, folic acid, iron, potassium, sodium, and zinc.
So when you are ill and in a compromised state of health to begin with, and you're depleting these nutrients, that's dangerous.
But here are other things. Aspirin, routine aspirin use has been associated with an increased risk of one type of breast cancer in women. That's the estrogen and progesterone receptor negative. Also, increased risk of kidney failure. It leads to cataracts, macular degeneration and blindness, hearing loss and tinnitus, erectile dysfunction. Aspirin and other nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories have been linked to a 22% increase in your risk of erectile dysfunction. And that was a Kaiser study that looked at 80,000 men.
Okay,
so that might be the one that gets their attention.
I think so. And so let's talk about the things that people can use to reduce inflammation naturally that have an overall benefit for their health and well-being. I'm thinking of omega-3s, specifically from fish oil, not omega-369, but omega-3s from fish oil. I'm thinking about garlic. There are any number of different very, very high quality garlic formulations. Both the fish oil and the garlic going to have an anti-inflammatory effect. They're going to be very supportive of how your immune system is meant to work.
But you also have to look at your diet. You have to eliminate processed foods, especially genetically modified foods. These are all inflammatory foods. Eliminate all gluten and highly allergenic pro-inflammatory foods. And get rid of trans fats. That's vegetable oils, margarine, and go over to avocados, raw butter, nuts, seeds, coconut oil.
Coconut oil. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. And for many, many years, unfortunately, the medical community took aim at coconut oil. It's a saturated fat. You should not have that in your diet. And look at this. Now we know that coconut oil provides a lot of nutrient benefits and a lot of overall health benefits.
Now, here's one. You'll tell me if this is doable by our listeners. Eat at least one-third of your food raw, or as much as you can manage.
Well, that's an issue. People who come to me with digestive distress and certain digestive issues, I tell them no raw food for 2 weeks. And when you start to introduce it, you introduce it very slowly. You must chew the raw food very, very well. The enzymes in your digestive tract, in your mouth, they combine with the enzymes in the raw food, but it needs to be very well chewed in order to get the benefits of the raw food. One third, I think might be a little too much for some of our listeners, Dr. Slavin. I'm going to go with a quarter. I raise you.
Okay.
I lower you.
The key is increase the amount of fresh vegetables in your diet. And here's another category that we don't really pay attention to, and that's eating naturally fermented foods every day.
And there are so many different ways. There are lessons online. There are groups in the South Florida area that teach you how to do your own fermentation. It's not that difficult.
And here's one that applies to everybody. Avoid artificial sweeteners.
Okay. And one of the reasons why you're using the fermented food is to enhance the health and diversity of the gut bacteria. And so that's a very, very important thing. using those foods in addition to taking a probiotic supplement.
And besides avoiding the artificial sweeteners, you want to limit dietary sugar. That includes fructose. That means you've got to pay attention to all the fruits you're eating, because patients are eating too many fruits.
They have been listening to that phrase, eat your fruits and vegetables, and that is not correct. Eat your vegetables, and a little bit of fruit, and choose those fruits that would tend to be lower in sugar. The fruits that are higher in sugar have very small servings.
And
Here's a number that I find a little strict, but ideally you'd like your insulin level, your fasting insulin level, to be around 3. The cutoff on the lab is under 9 for fasting, but the lower the better.
And, do you see in that 3 category?
Not many.
Right.
But still, the lower the better. I also see a lot of people above 9. So if you're coming to our event, whether it be this Saturday or the December 5th, and we'll have them periodically. And we're doing it in the morning purposely so people can come fasting, and we can check your insulin levels and see how low they are, because that might be a goal for people, because that's a reflection of just how you're feeding your body. And if it's too high, you know you got to cut back on the carbohydrates.
So people who are coming and they're seeing their baseline health profile with the CBC, chem panel, and urinalysis, based on their individual health issues, they can find out what additional tests might be available to address those issues. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'll be back with Dr. Herb Slavin right here on Natural Doc Radio tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.